Welcome into the start of hour number two of Sports 180 on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being with us as we continue today at Frazier's Carpet One in the middle of their biggest year. They're celebrating 70 years here. If you want to help with the celebration, they're actually helping you. No money down, free financing for 36 months. That lasts for 7 more days. Call up Frazier's 546-4850, 546-4850 for Frazier's Carpet One. As we begin this hour, going to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show Edgar Thompson, who covers the Florida Gators for the Orlando Sentinel. He joins us now. Edgar, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, hey, Josh. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Can you tell us, what has this week been like with Florida coming off a hard-fought game against Alabama, came down to the wire, now it's Tennessee week. Can you get a sense of just maybe the mindset or however you would describe it with Florida getting ready to host the Vols after the way this past weekend went?
Well, they're trying to, like, keep the moral victory talk to a minimum here, understandably. Yeah, they're disappointed they weren't able to pull off the win, but at the same time, I mean, realistically, that game could have gotten away from Florida pretty quickly. You're down 21-3, missing tackles, on the ropes. Alabama's just doing whatever it wants on offense, and you're not really getting anything going offensively on the other side. So scratching back into that game, the crowd was fantastic. It's the kind of crowd the Gators used to generate pretty routinely, but is like most places up there and everywhere, even good teams are having trouble packing their home field. So there was a lot to build on in that game, bottom line, Josh, but you gotta keep building on it. And the Gators' margin for error is gone now if it wants to defend the national SEC East title. Little bit less than the national.
Edgar, let me ask you this. What did the Gators learn about themselves, and what do you think you, as somebody that covers the team, learned about Dan Mullen, especially in the face of some pretty big adversity there in that first half?
Well, I'm writing a story as we speak on just Mullen's amazing ability to adapt. The guy had the number one passing team in the nation last year, 378-plus a game. Now they're ranked second in the nation in rushing, 335-plus. Baylor, 14-15, went from four passing, 15, two running. They're the only team in the playoff era to go from top five in one to top five in the other. So that's what I take away from that game. It's like I'm watching them just running the football down Alabama's throat. I mean, you're losing 18 by 18, and that typically is like just start throwing the football over the yard and trying to get back in it, and that's when it can snowball. Dan stuck to the game plan, found a couple of plays, particularly at speed option, and had Alabama on its heels the rest of the game. It was pretty amazing. But we knew that about Dan coming into the season, into when he got to Florida. We knew that he was a very, very good offensive coach, but he just continues to kind of amaze on that front. And what's really the key, obviously, is getting your players to buy in, right, to getting them to believe. Because you get guys, and they're down 18 points to Alabama, you get this sellout crowd, national TV, you're getting embarrassed, and suddenly guys want to start, finger-pointing, or they're not believing and buying in to what they're doing, and then you got real problems, and they can last a lot longer than one game.
We're talking to Edgar Thompson. He covers Florida for the Orlando Sentinel. Edgar, are we going to see Anthony Richardson at quarterback on Saturday night? If so, how much are we going to see of Anthony Richardson?
I mean, I'm hoping. He's the most fun player I've covered here since I've been back. I was here for a five-season stint, 02 through 06, came back in 12. He's the most exciting player I've seen since Percy Harvin. This kid is absolutely insane. I mean, I can't even believe it, honestly. I mean, we're like, huh? I mean, we're looking at each other in the press box going, what is going on down there? I mean, he comes into the USF game, and I get it. It's USF. He hadn't played yet. We're like, what's he going to do this week? after the week before running for 73-yard touchdown. Now, look, the play broke down and no one was there, and he ran. But, I mean, he hurdled a defender on another play, you know, made a pretty nice throw, but a guy's wide open. So you're like, okay, what's he got this week? First play, 75-yard touchdown. And it was a good pass. And then he comes back in, throws a 41-yard touchdown, just a little teardrop, little 35-yarder right to the guy. Then he runs left, throws it right across his body. He's right-handed, 36-yard dart right along the sideline to a guy. Oh, yeah, next series comes in, first play, runs 80 yards for a touchdown. It's just like, what is going on down there? I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's 6'4", 236 pounds. He's 19 years old, so he's got tons of potential. He played at a school in Gainesville that wasn't even good at all. So he had got no coaching, no development. Then he comes here as an early enrollee. COVID hit, so there goes spring. And then you get a weird, you know, preseason camp where who knows what meetings even were like, right? So it's like this kid has had limited development already. It's like I can't even believe what's to come with this guy if he can keep it up. I mean, people are talking about Cam Newton, Tim Tebow, you know, love child here, you know. It's kind of amazing, man, is all I got to say, if you can't tell. I mean, Tim Tebow's raving about the kid. So – And he doesn't typically do that. Now, he's a Florida guy and all that, but he's blown away. So we'll see. I mean, he's on track to play, but, again, do you risk it? Do you need to risk it? I don't know. I mean, Tennessee's a 20-point underdog. I don't know if it's going to be that. I don't know if the Gators can just coast in this one. But if you can get by without playing Richardson, you let that hamstring get healthy because – that thing, the second you explode, you can have real issues again, especially when you're as explosive as him.
You need to be his PR guy, Edgar, because you got me fired up to see him. Now I don't want to see him this week. You know, I can wait till later on in the Gator schedule to see him. We were just asked this question, and I want you to answer it for me. What would be the number one thing Tennessee would have to do to pull off the upset that it would be if they were able to get a win in the Swamp Saturday night?
Well, I think, you know, the blueprint was set out early on by Alabama. I mean, Bryce Young is a quick-thinking passer, knows where he's going with the football, and he's got some real talented guys out on the perimeter. Mechie, I mean, this Jameson Williams kid from Ohio State to transfer. These guys are fleet-footed guys that can operate in space. But if Tennessee has any guys, and they should, I mean, Tennessee gets players, and Hooker seems like he's playing pretty well, they need to create matchups in space and force the Gators to make tackles because their tackling looked terrible early on. And Alabama took advantage. So they're going to have to score points, Tennessee, to you know, stay in and potentially pull off this game. Defensively, I don't know what Tennessee's front seven looks like, but Alabama got pushed around by Florida up front. So that's pretty hard to do typically. Nick Saban was pretty flummoxed after that game. He's like, look, Dan is a good coach. That speed option had us on our heels. Dan will have another wrinkle for this team. So it's a big ask to come into the Swamp, particularly a program rebuilding like Tennessee, but we'll see. I mean, I think the Tennessee's look okay so far, and Josh Heupel certainly can coach offense and develop quarterbacks. So I don't think this is going to be some walkover.
Yeah, before you go, Edgar Thompson's with us. You cover Florida, of course, for the Orlando Sentinel, but Orlando Sentinel's been covering Josh Heupel the last few years. Have you heard much about Josh Heupel from when he was the head coach at UCF? Any thoughts with him now, of course, being at Tennessee?
I'm pretty insulated up here in Gainesville, I got to be honest. Okay. I mean, from that. But, I mean, I just looked at the body of work. I mean, he's 28-8. I know they slipped a little last year, COVID year. It's hard to judge. I mean, Kentucky lost Alabama by 60 last year. I mean, that isn't Kentucky's program. I mean, right, Kentucky's going to be pretty tough out for anyone this year. So I kind of throw last year out. I look at Dillon Gabriel. The kid's a very good quarterback. He was developed by Josh Heupel. Drew Lock in Missouri. I mean, Josh Heupel can develop that position, and you have to have one to have any success in football anymore. So I don't know that was the right hire. I don't know how well he's going to do, but he certainly has a resume that at least points to the fact that he'll give, you know, the Vols a chance to get back to some, you know, respectability.
He covers Florida for the Orlando Sentinel. Tennessee will be at Florida on Saturday. You can find him on Twitter as well, at OS Gators. Edgar, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us today, and we'll see what happens coming up in Gainesville in a couple days.
Yeah, thanks, you two. Take care.
Thanks, Edgar. Edgar Thompson, the Orlando Sentinel, one of my favorites.
Terrified of Anthony Richardson after listening to Edgar. So Edgar did a great job of setting the table of what Anthony Richardson brings to that table.
Well, if you've heard his name and you've thought, okay, what's this buzz about Anthony Richardson? What you just heard is what they're saying down there in Gainesville about what he could do.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that you probably need to capitalize on him being young and not as savvy as he is going to be in the future. I thought that was really interesting, the level of coaching that he received in high school. If we're talking about some of these other Elite 11 guys, they're getting much better coaching. I mean, just think about what kind of buzz would be around him if he was the quarterback at IMG, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it would just be ridiculous.
He's getting good coaching now.
Great coaching.
We'll see if he's out there on the field, how much he might be on the field on Saturday when Tennessee is in Gainesville. We will talk more about that coming up. We'll continue the show right here at Frazier's Carpet One. John Wilkerson joins us for the back half of this hour. We're with you until 3 o'clock. We're having a lot of fun talking a lot of football this afternoon at Frazier's Carpet One. Call them 546-4850. This is 99.1, the Sports Animal.
I sure do.
Lay it on us.
Tennessee 35, Florida 34.
Wow.
All right.
Bold, my friend.
Upset buzz is in the air, says Al. Al, I like it.
Hey, as Jimmy Himes pointed out, can't spell upset without UT. How about you now?
Yep, yep.
Does that make you feel better or worse there, Al, hearing that?
What's Jimmy Himes' record? It's better than Eric Ainge's, I bet. So
Jimmy knows what he's talking about. All right. Well, Al, we got you down.
Feel
I like
better.
It. Yeah, how good are you going to feel if Tennessee pulls off the upset and then you're handed the keys to a Ford Mustang from Ted Russell Ford?
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be able to drive around that car and paint it orange and be all happy if I picked Florida to win.
Well, I like it. Al, we got you down. You just have to promise to stop by the station after you pick up the car and pick up Heather and me for a joyride.
Oh, sure. For sure.
All right. Al, thank you for calling in. Good luck, and we'll take more predictions this afternoon, and then tomorrow afternoon we'll draw a score at random from all that we've collected this week. That'll be the one to pay attention to Saturday night. If it hits, then the person who predicts it will win a 2021 Ford Mustang GT from Ted Russell Ford.
Can we do one of those explore your own ending scenarios right now and just think about what Big Al laid on us there? How awesome would that be? And he wins a car on top of it. You talk about just hitting the jackpot. Let's do it, Al. Let's do it.
That's right. Ted Russell Ford, I know, would love to see that. They'd love to hand some keys over after a Tennessee upset win over Florida on Saturday night. Continue to listen for your chance to score a Ford from Ted Russell Ford. To quote Jimmy Himes directly on Twitter, at Jimmy Himes is where you can follow him. We've got to get him the blue check mark, of course. For Tennessee fans optimistic about this Saturday's trip to Florida, remember, you can't spell upset without a U and a T, playing off the old Steve Spurrier line.
Yes, I absolutely love it, and he's correct. I checked. Those letters are in the word upset.
They
so,
are.
Yeah, I kind of like it. And I'm so, this is just the one thing. If I could ask anything of you, Josh Heupel, please help change my mindset. Because I've told you, you start mentioning the name Florida, you mention the name Georgia, you mention the name Alabama. It's like Pavlov's dogs. I'm not excited about those games. I'm absolutely terrified of those games after what Tennessee has been through over the past 3 years. So if Josh Heupel could do one thing, it's just help us all believe again. Give us something to believe in, and we're going to back you. You know, it's right there.
Yeah, if Tennessee pulls off the upset Saturday, congrats to Josh Heupel on all the free stuff he's going to get forever, probably.
Well, and all the NIL stuff.
And
all
to
the
all
players.
The players for the NIL deals that will likely be coming their way as
Absolutely.
Well.
And maybe if they get a little extra change, they could donate to my Hunger Action Heroes campaign at Second Harvest Food Bank.
How about it? We have the donation QR code right here. If you happen to stop by at Fraser's Carpet One, you have your link up and running. This is to raise money for Second Harvest Food Bank.
Yes, and we're just so excited to partner with them. This is something you inspired me last year with how much money you were able to raise. I also want to be the Hunger Action Hero. I want that cape around my shoulders when I win. It's stiff competition, so I got to respect the opponent, but also want to show them the power of this radio community. And remember, Second Harvest distributes more than 21 million pounds of food, and that's the equivalent of 17 and a half million meals to hungry East Tennesseans. They don't send this food off anywhere. This is hungry people in our area. And with all the counties that they service, 18 counties spanning nearly 8,000 square miles, and it's just amazing. $1 provides three meals for a hungry person in East Tennessee. So if you're like, oh, I wish I could donate, but I don't have that much, $5, $10. Skip your coffee, put your leftovers in a bag one day, and take your lunch to work, and please help me be the Hunger Action Hero, because the main job is to beat hunger here.
That's right. Help Heather, help Second Harvest Food Bank, which helps so many people right here in East Tennessee. We have 90 minutes of Sports 180 to go. We are at Fraser's Carpet One. We've used Fraser's. John Wilkerson, who will join us next, he has used Fraser's Carpet One. We'll tell you more about what's going on here and talk Tennessee, Florida coming up on Saturday when we come back. 90 minutes of Sports 180 remaining at Frazier's today on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second Sports Minute on the Sports Animal.
Thursday Night Football tonight, the Texans host the Panthers. Kickoff of that one is at 8:20. Davis Mills will get the start at quarterback for the Texans, and that can be heard on AM 990. In Major League Baseball, the Braves face the Diamondbacks at 3:40. The Reds host the Nationals at 7:05. The White Sox and the Indians got going about 16 minutes ago in game one of their doubleheader, and the Cardinals and the Brewers get going here at 2:10. Rivalry Thursday game tonight, Alcoa will be at West. Kickoff of that one is at 7 p.m., and that can be heard here on FM 99.1. The Eric Haines Show, Brian Rice, and VFL Jason Swain will be on the call for that one. Neighbor Design and Hardscapes, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or outdoor business space into a reality. Your new outdoor space awaits. Neighbor Design and Hardscapes, making backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
This is Sports 180. We have 90 minutes to go, and then Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock. John Wilkerson will be a part of that show. He will be a part of Sports 180 for the next 30 minutes as we say hello. John, good afternoon. Hope you're doing well. You have used Fraser's Carpet One in the past, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, sure have. Perhaps two of the biggest jobs that we've ever had done in our house, and each time it was just an unbelievable experience. Because they're so good with what they prep you for. They let you know what you're responsible for. And if you have questions about how you can make sure that area is ready to be worked on, then they've got all the information you could hope to have. And then they come in. I mean, each time they delivered ahead of schedule. They left everything so incredibly clean, as clean as they possibly could from one day to the next. I mean, the first one was unbelievable. And then the second job was done to an even better degree, because we had the same crew that came back and knew our house and everything. So each time, a wonderful experience. Could not ask for better.
Have had the same experience. Locally owned and operated, call Fraser. Schedule a free in-home estimate. They will come to you to get the process started. They will make it easy for you right here at Fraser's. 546-4850, 546-4850 for Fraser's Carpet One. John, 2 days away, Tennessee, Florida, Vols on the road. As you've probably heard, Vols are big underdogs in this game. Florida's coming off the close game against Alabama. As you've had a few days to think about it, what comes to mind first when you think about this game, maybe what Tennessee needs to try to do?
Well, as we've talked about, and it hasn't changed in terms of the mindset, I think Tennessee has to play its very best game and needs perhaps a little bit of help from Florida, whether it be mistakes, and or perhaps them having a little bit of a Crimson Tide hangover. I think it's just right now that's where the two programs are. And so I do think that when you look at Florida perhaps having two quarterbacks that it can rely on, with Anthony Richardson being perhaps ready to go, I think it could be a struggle for Tennessee's defense to contain Florida's ground game. But I'll say this. I like the way that Tennessee has fought, and I expect them to do exactly that in Gainesville. And so for that reason, I think they'll give themselves a chance. Question is whether or not the Gators will cooperate.
Maybe the answer is no, but would you feel better about this game if it wasn't at 7 o'clock at night in the Swamp? Like if it would have been a noon or even the 4 o'clock game?
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, I think the noon game is one that is perhaps football's or TV's equalizer, because if you do have a decided favorite, I think that the underdog comes up with at least – a puncher's chance when you get to that noon start, because anybody can have that slow stumble out of the gate. And I think the longer that you have a team that feels it has a chance to win a game, the more confident it becomes. And so the noon start probably would have been ideal for Tennessee, although I know we've already had our fill of noon starts.
And another one coming next
already.
Week.
Yeah, and another one next week. Yeah, actually 11 if you're in Central Time. Yeah.
Yeah, thankfully we won't be. But for them, yeah, that stinks.
We'd have to play the locker room at 4. Me and Josh would be on at 5.
That's right. And the digest would have to go on the night before, right?
John, I don't know, the night before, an hour before, when does Tennessee figure out what they're going to do at quarterback against the Gators?
I think they already know. So,
I
just think, and that's because that's how Josh Heupel strikes me, that if I think he wants to know what he's got to work with, and I believe he knows what he's got to work with, or at least what he's going into Gainesville with. Because I don't know that there would be anything magical that could happen for Milton if he were perhaps on the shelf or perhaps, you know, on, you know, 50-50 in terms of the decision making. I just can't think of anything magical that would happen on a Thursday or a Friday that would all of a sudden say, yep, we're riding into battle with this guy. So I think he already knows what he's got and probably has been preparing the better part of the week for what he's got.
I know you can't just, you know, put yourself in his brain, but what do you think his perceived advantage is to not announcing who the quarterback is?
Well, if Milton is healthy and able to go, as the depth chart would have you believe, then it might be that he just wants that feeling of competition. I do know that for some, that's how it lingers, that if you haven't said, I mean, you do have it in print that says that Milton would be the one, and then you have the or for who would be number two. But I just think that it's not a big one, mind you. So I don't think there's a great advantage, because there is footage of Milton as Tennessee's quarterback. There is footage of Hooker as Tennessee's quarterback. So I don't think there's any, and Bailey for that matter. So I don't think there's any unsolved mystery that's about to be able to be foisted upon the Gators.
John Wilkerson with us, Tennessee and Florida on Saturday night. If Joe Milton is out there, either as a starter at some point during the game, what do you think Tennessee needs to do to maybe help him or put him in the best position to move Tennessee's offense?
Receivers need to catch the ball if it hits their hands. That's one of the things that has been just a tad disappointing, is that you've missed out on opportunities. Sure, from the quarterback's perspective, you haven't seen guys that were running wide open. You haven't been able to hit some of those that have been running wide open, but in the times that you've delivered a good ball, there have been too many times in just 3 games where it's wound up not being caught. And so for that reason, I think that Tennessee's receivers need to do their best to beat the press coverage that they know is coming and get open, and when they're open, catch the ball that's thrown their way.
I think also we've talked so much about Tennessee's offensive side of the ball. If Tennessee can't slow down Florida's run game, it's actually going to be a quick day. Like it's going to go by pretty fast, because it looks like that is the absolute strength of this team and very dynamic.
Yeah, and you can, they can get you in any number of ways, and so many times you wind up with, you think you've got a play figured out, but then when it goes off script, that's where it becomes perhaps even the haymaker and or the backbreaker or any other nickname you want to give it to. You can do everything right and still wind up with a play that just crushes your spirit. So when you look at the intangibles that Florida possesses, and it's still, I mean, just the sheer numbers that they put up against Alabama are impressive enough. But it tells you also that you've got to be strong in the trenches, because that tells you that Florida controlled the line of scrimmage. And we all know that rarely happens against Alabama.
Right. John, last segment we took our score forward prediction. It was Tennessee 35, Florida 34. 20 years ago, Tennessee won 34-32 in the Swamp. How do you factor that in to Saturday night?
Well, you're saying there's a chance.
I don't think he was factoring that in, Josh.
We have that combined with Jimmy's tweet.
Yeah, that and Jimmy's tweet. I mean, it's like an optimistic Thursday. This is a great day in Knoxville. I think the weather's getting to people. They're just enjoying the sun.
Wheels are in motion. Yeah.
And how awesome is the weather? My goodness. A little chilly last night. 66, middle of the day. Holy smokes. Are we in San Diego, founded by the Germans?
Also,
we won't
out,
get into what the yeah,
as great as the lines are here, the fact that we've reached to the weather to try to draw in some kind of upset opportunity for Tennessee, not the best indication.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's 66 according to what I'm looking at, and that is the course total points of Tennessee's 34-32 win 30 years ago. So I think this tells you that the universe is ready for this.
Reading the signs.
If that doesn't – hold on. I got to go put in a money line bet real quick on Tennessee's side. John, we'll come back. We'll do a little more college football, some NFL talk. Week 3 all of a sudden is here in the NFL. Another segment with John on with us here on Sports 180. He'll also, of course, be a part of Sports Talk coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We continue at Frazier's Carpet One. They're celebrating 70 years, and they want to celebrate with you with no money down and free financing for 36 months. That ends in a week. If you want to take advantage of that free financing for 36 months, you need to do that right now. Call Frazier's 546-4850. We'll come back with John Wilkerson right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Today's show continues at Frazier's Carpet One, locally owned and operated for 70 years, by the way. Call up Frazier's if you need new flooring, if you think you might need new flooring. Call Frazier's 546-4850. Schedule a free in-home estimate. Have them come to you. Frazier's Carpet One, as we have John Wilkerson for another segment. He'll be on Sports Talk this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And, yeah, John, Tennessee, Florida, of course, the local focus in the SEC. What about some other games? Some interesting matchups. Arkansas, which is riding high off that win over Texas a couple weeks ago. They'd love to get another win against a big team in the state of Texas. Texas A&M this upcoming weekend. What do you think there, as A&M has had the quarterback change because of Haynes King's injury, but the game in Arlington, Arkansas and Texas A&M?
Yeah, well, I certainly give Arkansas a chance. I really like what A&M is doing defensively. Because they've done a really nice job of just throwing the wraps on their opponents thus far. But I do think that Arkansas is so confident, and rightly so. I mean, what they did to Texas was so impressive. I'm probably going to pick the Aggies to get the win. As you mentioned, it is closer to their backyard than it is to as Arkansas travels. But I just really like the job that Sam Pittman and his staff are doing. You've got two great coordinators. He, of course, lets them do their stuff, and so for that reason, I would lean towards A&M, but I definitely do not rule out a possibility of a Razorbacks victory.
Hey, what do you think about Luke Doty getting his first start at South Carolina? They're playing Kentucky. There's a perceived gap there. Have you kind of put your finger on how good Kentucky is this season? And just what do you think of that matchup? What's that going to tell us for two future opponents for Tennessee?
Well, I do think that Kentucky right now is probably closer to the teams that it's chasing than it is to the teams that are chasing them. Missouri is right there, but I also think that when you look at the lower half of the division as it is projected, which would be Tennessee, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, I just think that Kentucky has separated itself just on the consistency in what Mark Stoops has built over time. And then also their ability to go out and add parts. Just look at the different ways they've won. Now, granted, they struggled far more than anybody expected against UT Chattanooga, but I think that's more of a testament to the Mocs being ready and giving it their all as opposed to Kentucky, which might have just simply glanced past UTC. But you come out of the chute and you have the week one where it's the quarterback that's just wowing everybody with what he did through the air. And then the next game where you take on Missouri, the first SEC game of the season, it was they ran the ball and they ran it so well and they had somebody that was able to go over 200 yards with a career day. So I just think that there's some versatility there. The question will be whether or not Kentucky has depth, because when injuries set in, is that going to be something that severely impacts them or just gives them makes it necessary for them to work around what they might be dealing with? But their strength is, I think, their offensive line, and I'm very impressed with the staying power that Stoops has built into that program.
John Wilkerson with us. Week three of the NFL season begins tonight with the Panthers and the Texans. Not necessarily the marquee matchup of the weekend, but, John, the Panthers are going for 3-0 here, and they're off to a good start. Got an unexpected win against the Saints. I would say, what do you think with what's going on there with Sam Darnold taking over the quarterback position year two with Matt Rhule as the head coach?
How stupid do the Jets look?
Well, are you talking about or just in general?
Yes. You got to be more specific.
Because you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I do have to focus this comment in. But with Sam Darnold, considering that he was drafted by a supposed guru and, of course, floundered in terms of being with the Jets, and granted, that franchise has more than its fair share of injuries one year to the next, and it just seems that if they have a outstanding player, that something's going to happen, that player is not going to be available. But right now, Carolina looks awfully good, and it is a short sample, and it's not as though they've knocked off huge teams, but I was very impressed with how they simply dismantled New Orleans to get that second win. And so I think they are going to get to 3-0, and I think Darnold's going to lead the way. And, of course, we know that they're much more dangerous with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, which all of that is in place. It's a testament to what Matt Rhule has done everywhere he's been, and that is you give him time, and he's going to build a winner. And right now, Carolina has that look of perhaps being a team that's going to crash the party when it comes to the playoffs. Out of all the teams that were projected to make it in the NFC, I don't know that there was a great amount of support for the Panthers being in that mix. But I think right now they're saying, yes, indeed, at this point in time, they have to be dealt with. And I do think they get that win.
Who do you think is a team, either AFC or NFC, that is on the second tier but could be maybe one of the most dangerous teams?
Well, you, of course, were talking about him, and I really hate to bring it up, but I think right now the Las Vegas Raiders might have the best resume. It wouldn't be my top team in our power poll, but when you look at them opening at home with a win over Baltimore and what Baltimore did in its next game, knocking off Kansas City, and the other win being a road victory at Pittsburgh, which what did they do the week before? They won at Buffalo. I think the Raiders right now have the best NFL resume in terms of the two victories they have. So we'll see if they're staying power. And the big difference could be that they have a new defensive coordinator, because they've been not just near the bottom, they've been at the bottom when it comes to points allowed over the last couple of years. And if they can just slow down the other side a bit more, all you have to do is look at what they have at their disposal to work with, and that is a team that is beyond dangerous. They should have swept the regular season series with Kansas City last year. They won at Kansas City, had them on the ropes in Vegas, and couldn't get the job done. So the Raiders right now are right there, the team that belongs in the sentence or the answer to the question you just asked.
John, I think I had a short in my headset. Could you say all that again real quick?
He's like, nope.
No.
No. Respectfully, no. He sounded like Josh Heupel at a press conference. Who are you going to play at quarterback? No.
No. That is fair enough. And yet we're trying to get everything figured out. Maybe we'll get a better idea with the Bucs and the Rams, probably the best matchup of the weekend. What do you think in terms of two NFC teams being talked about for the Super Bowl the most? They're going to play out in L.A. this Sunday.
Yeah, and then also can't wait to see. I mean, right now I'm just really enjoying, and Heather, you were building it up in terms of, you were highlighting it as we built up to the season, and that's what Matthew Stafford means to the Rams. Also, we know the Rams have great defense, and despite the injuries they've suffered at running back, I just think that this is a fun team to watch right now, because it's really intriguing to see such a veteran quarterback who doesn't have the resume of winning that Matthew Stafford has. I just think he's loving life. And for Tampa to be off to the start, Tom Brady with 9 touchdowns, I think this is the big matchup. And this, I think, is for the early top spot in the NFC. So I'm anxious to see how it plays out this weekend.
Yeah, I think the best matchups this weekend in the NFL are going on the West Coast because I also think that Packers-San Francisco game, give me all of that. I want to see Aaron Rodgers against somebody not named the Detroit Lions to then believe that all is fixed with his kooky offseason. I mean, what a kooky bird.
Does he rank number one in your who you pull against list right now?
He has to. Yeah, he has to. Because I can't think of somebody else off the top of my head. It is Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, Packers fans. You are good people out there. I love you, Randall Cobb. You are amazing. But, man, Aaron Rodgers, I just can't get behind that guy.
Oh, goodness. It's so obvious you're an NFC fan because we all know what the answer should be, Josh, being in the better of the two conferences, the AFC. It starts and ends with the Chiefs. I mean, they're the team to hate. They're the team to despise. They're the team to not give one bit. I mean, because all of them are jerks. They're just all – Trey Smith, he, of course, is a great guy, and I wish him the very best and continue to look awesome and outstanding. But everyone else, they're tied for first at the jerk store.
See?
So, I think he's over Kelsey and Hill, too.
Yeah. So they're tied as the all-time bestseller. So what you're saying is you hope Trey Smith delivers a pancake block at right guard while the left guard ends up whiffing to cause the play to blow up.
Could not have described it better myself. That is the perfect way that it unfolds.
Yeah, and John, one more game this weekend. It's kind of under the radar probably because things are just kind of weird in Indianapolis, but Titans-Colts, this is an important one for the Titans.
They got a sweep.
Yeah, it's not a knockout punch, is it? But if the Titans get the win, they have to feel like they're in complete control of the AFC South.
And they likely are, just for looking at what everybody else is dealing with. And, I mean, to me, sure, there are 14 games that remain after this weekend, but the Colts have to show something, and chances are it's going to be without Carson Wentz. They have been banged up elsewhere. You still haven't had Eric Fisher play a game for them, and he was supposed to be the new addition to their offensive line. So this is huge. And, of course, they're the road team going to the Titans. And after opening against back-to-back big teams from the NFC, you now have the Colts that are on the road for their next 3. And I think their season, sadly, could be over before it began just because – they lost the 2 games at home. They were in position to win each game, but they lost to Seattle. Then they lost to the Rams, had the chance to beat the Rams, had the lead early in the fourth, but couldn't hold it. But now they go on the road, and I just think that unless something big happens, I just hope this doesn't mean heat for Frank Reich because I really like him as a coach, and I think he's a championship-type coach. But I just think this could already be a frustrating season that's not going to be any better than that for Indianapolis.
Yeah, positive spin can be there's a long way to go, but the negative spin can be, well, there's a long way to go. We'll see after this upcoming weekend, perhaps. Hey, John, only an hour to go before Sports Talk will take over. We appreciate the time here this last half hour. We'll check in again before Sports Talk and then, of course, look forward to that show. Thank you.
Oh, always appreciate it. And I don't think Kevin could have nailed it any better than the best song by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yes.
He shared that earlier, the live version of Thunder Road. Everything else is second or worse.
So sign you up for the same on the boss's birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we got you down. Mark you down. John Wilkerson, thank you, and we will talk. We will talk in a little less than an hour.
All right, always appreciate it. Thank you.
One more hour of Sports 180 to go today, live on Western Avenue at Frazier's Carpet 1 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.